I want to welcome you to the Center for Spiritual Living, and please join us singing our congregational sing-along this morning.
One God.
Good morning. Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living, where all that we ask is that you celebrate the fact that your life is changing as your mind changes. I'm Joyce DeFalla, the assistant minister. It's my great pleasure to welcome you on this very special day as we sit on a very special stage with beautiful... doesn't the choir look fabulous? And have you noticed what's around the choir? Have you noticed the stage? Yes. The beautiful stage today is thanks to the efforts of Cecily and Suzanne and Elizabeth and Brino and William. If any of them are here, could you stand up? And Edward. Thank you. I also want to acknowledge the Reverend Maggie Buck and the 17 people who joined her at Spring Lake this morning in the rain. Isn't it nice to know somebody's praying for you even when you're sleeping? It's great. We also have a service this evening at 7 o'clock that will be facilitated by Josephine Smith. And midweek Wednesday, Dr. Edward is our speaker at 7 o'clock talking about taking charge, making small positive changes. That is preceded by our weekly Wednesday meditation at 6:30. Today is the last opportunity to participate in the wonderful Souls for Souls program. If you go to the Souls for Souls table, the people there will happily explain how it works, how you can make a donation to buy a certificate to buy shoes for Sonoma County children and teens who otherwise wouldn't have new shoes. Also today, the Early Bird Special continues on the Science of Mind classes that are beginning May 8th. So if you are interested in taking one of the accredited Science of Mind classes this summer, today's a good opportunity to sign up. You can also register for our family camp, which begins June 22nd. This is a wonderful opportunity to celebrate community together. You can be a family of one and come to family camp. Next week, we'll have the great pleasure of welcoming to our stage Aman Matwani, an internationally known speaker. And in the afternoon, he's providing a workshop entitled, When You Change How You See the World, the Whole World Changes. So you can get more information and tickets for that from Nell at the table in the social hall. You can also get tickets on the website, at our website, if you look for the bookstore tab. Saturday, the 29th of April, there's a workshop entitled Simplify Your Life. And you can figure that it's an opportunity to declutter and manage paper, manage time, manage all kinds of things. So there's information in the social hall about that, too. And we have some free classes coming up, dollars and cents, information in your bulletin about that. The Beyond Life series of four classes coming up in May, which address end-of-life issues. And also our membership classes begin Tuesday, April 25th. Three Tuesday evenings that lead you into the possibility of becoming a member here. So if you're interested in becoming a member or you just want to get more information about your spiritual community, join us Tuesday, April 25th. All of those free classes do require that you sign up, so please pay attention to that. This would be a good moment to turn off your cell phone. And now, if you are here for the very first time, we invite you to stand so that we can acknowledge you with the gift of a rose.
Home is where the heart is. No matter how that heart is.
God is in this very room. In the light and the love and the glory, God is peace. God is joy. God is power. God is beauty. God is love. All these things God is, I am, we are. For we are one, one in the light of love and peace and glory. One in universal whole presence of God. We are one. One in our hearts. One in our minds. One in our bodies. For we are whole, complete, and perfect, just as we are. And in this wholeness, and in this love, we are one. And I speak my word for us, knowing that as it is true for me, it is true for everyone here today. That as we rise up on this Easter morning, our hearts are open, fearless, and free. For we are loved, nurtured, and held in the loving arms of God. There can be no other. God is all there is. And so we express that oneness and that perfection each and every moment. And I bless this service this morning. All that who have come before us to bless this sanctuary, all the coffee servers, all the lobby people who are there to serve and hold us in love. I bless the youth church, all the teachers and the children this morning. I bless the musicians and the choir as their voices rise us up into this glorious Easter morning. And I bless the words and the talk today, that they are heard and taken into each one of our hearts, knowing that we will be enlightened, enriched, and loved. I am so grateful for this truth. And I release my word into the law of mine, knowing that it is made manifest, for the creative process has begun. And so it is. Amen. Good morning. On this Easter morning, I'm going to share a reading with you that supports the talk today entitled God Talks to the Heart. It's written by Ernest Holmes, and it's from The Living in the Science of Mind, page 164 and 65. While we admire the intellect, we must realize that the intellect is not the creative factor in the universe. Rather, it is feeling that is creative. The real creative power of the mind is deeper than the intellect. It passes into the realm of feeling and acceptance. Yet it is the intellect or the self-conscious faculties that must speak the word in order that every obstruction may be cleared away. We could coin no better expression than to say that God speaks to the heart through a language of feeling, a feeling which must be affirmative. To all treatments, no matter how intellectually or analytically correct they may be, there must be added this deep feeling and conviction that enable one to commune with the invisible. It is an inward emotion of the mind which reaches out until it strikes some corresponding chord emanating from the universe itself. Perhaps this is the real and true meaning of communion, something beyond prayer as ordinarily thought of, something which cannot be described, but can only be felt. And so it is. So you have an affirmation printed on your bulletin and printed on the ceiling, so it wouldn't be on their beautiful faces. Let us read it together this morning. Printed on the ceiling, so it wouldn't be on their beautiful faces. Let us read it together this morning. I know that there's a power for good which is responding to me and bringing into my experience everything that is necessary for my unfoldment. I know there's a power for good that enables me to help others and to bless the whole world.
Wow. Thank you very much. Anybody hear the radio program this morning? We talked about the psalm. Thank you so very much. We should have had you on the radio. Instead, we got you here on Easter morning. Good morning. That is such a wonderful introduction to our morning's topic. Just in case you're here, you know, lots of people come to church on Easter once a year. You know, I'm very grateful. But it means I must catch you up to speed with what we're doing. I must say, I just love having the choir on stage. Isn't it wonderful to hear those voices come and lift up the... Yeah, beautiful. And it's just about the only time in creation when these people are well behaved because you're watching them. Our theme this year is Living the Science of Mind, and we selected this book by Ernest Holmes because it's accessible. It has the same title, Living the Science of Mind. The idea is to focus on our own faith tradition because we've studied everything, Buddhism, Judaism, Hinduism, Christianity, and this year is about looking at the principles of our own faith tradition to see what does it mean to live in this faith called Science of Mind. So this book is accessible because the chapters are short and they're divided easily into topics that have given us focus through the year. Right throughout the music department, through the youth and family church and the adult church, we're all moving along together. We started in January looking at the basic principles of science of mind. In February, we started talking about two elusive subjects, spirituality and religion, to try and build a bridge between the two and find our place, redefine those words. Last month, we talked about divinity. We talked about those big ideas about God that help us explore our relationship to the universe. And this month, we're building the bridge to humanity because we are human. And in this journey, we discover that not only is it important to us to explore our divine nature, but also to figure out some way that understanding can help us in our path as human beings. So last week, we looked at things like that part of us that must be eternal, that part of us that's not caused by anything, neither is it dependent on anything, it's unconditioned. We looked at those qualities and tried to explore them in relationship to our human condition because as we discovered last week, on this journey of humanness, there come times when that part of us, the divine part, seems way less real than that part of us which toils and troubles and suffers and travels through the valley of the shadow of death. And we talked about how the point of spiritual practice, the whole point of prayer and meditation and study and service and giving, the point of all of that is to reacquaint ourselves with this inner life, to help bring us back, to reawaken that awareness of divinity in us. That's the whole point of spiritual practice. And what better day than this, Easter Sunday, to celebrate the awakening up again to that awareness of inner holiness and wholeness. This Easter Sunday is set aside across Christendom to commemorate hope and new life in the form of celebrating the resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth among Christian observing faiths. When we get to Easter, frequently people will say to me, you know, Edward, why do we observe Easter? Because, you know, we come from different backgrounds. We're Jewish, we're Buddhist, we're agnostic, we're who knows what we are. And here we are, seekers. We come together in one melting pot. And so sometimes people say, why do we observe Easter? And do we believe in the resurrection? People ask the question. Well, I don't know how to answer that for anybody else. I don't even know how to speak on behalf of a denomination. I can only answer for myself. And I answer with a lot of respect for Christianity when I say, personally, I just have no way of knowing about the facts from 2,000 years ago. I just don't know where I am with that. But I do know what the power of a deeply inspiring story has to open my heart. I do know that. I'm no expert in Christianity. I'm certainly no expert in history. I'm not even really clear on why certain things inspire me that don't inspire other people. I don't know why this psalm makes my heart soar, whereas another one doesn't. I don't know why some pieces of abstract art make friends go, wow, whereas I go, wow. I don't know what moves one person, what moves another, but I'm more interested in what the reading talked about, the inner feeling deeper than the intellect that moves me to experience things. I know to give myself permission to go with a story, like the Easter story, it speaks to me. It really does. I gave myself permission to be more deeply moved by stories like the Easter story after I studied Hinduism. Remember a couple of years ago, we looked at Hinduism together, and in the textbook I was reading at the time, it was so helpful because it pointed out the difficulties that the early Christian missionaries had in converting the Hindus. They just couldn't do it. They couldn't convert the Hindus because the Hindus would sit down and listen intently, respectfully, and took it all in and quite frankly believed it. But there was no need for them to convert because the story wasn't really that much more spectacular than any story in their own faith. A God in a heavenly realm, certainly, who comes down to earth mysteriously as his own self in the form of his own offspring, of course. Who is betrayed and murdered, yes, and then is resurrected 3 days later, yes, of course, and then reascends into a heavenly realm in a transfigured state, why not? Hinduism is full of that kind of thing. It's very normal and deeply satisfying to the people who hear the stories, deeply soul-opening. And the power of the message that is wrapped in between these stories, oh, unless, of course, you're picking it to pieces and trying to understand it with your intellect, then you've got trouble right there. Have you ever read the Ramayana? Or heard it recited, you know, because reading it is one thing, hearing it recited is another. In fact, at the Sebastopol Center for the Arts, they have storytelling there, and one of our friends, Hari, recites the Ramayana beautifully. You should get onto the mailing list. You just missed the Ramayana. Fantastic to hear the story, because then you hear the story told, and they're flying machines, and they're demons and champions, heroes, heroines, resurrections, ascensions, holy men, holy children, holy women, saints, sinners, betrayals, reconciliations, transfigurations, miracles, magic. And all of it, every word of it, to tell the exact same story that the Bible tells over and over and over again, whether it is through the story of Job or the story of Easter or through the miracles of the New Testament. And I'm not talking about the history of how a thing happens, and I'm not talking about the rational facts and are they possible. I'm talking about the message that is woven throughout it all that says this, that God is the center of our lives. And if we should fall into the darkest death-like sleep, there will nevertheless come a time for all of us when we will rise again and take our place among the living and be joyous again. I ask the ushers to stand as we transition into our giving practice. So won't you please take your gift in your hand? Before we go into our gifting, I wanted to mention that in this community, we don't do fundraisers. You know, we just receive the gift. We do our once-a-year pledge campaign. But the children do sometimes engage in fundraisers as a way of learning good stewardship and self-reliance. And so you will see outside the teens have a table they're putting on a tee, and they're going to have teen entertainment, and that is worth the price of admission by itself. So please enjoy our teens as they learn about stewardship in their own lives. And now won't you say, I bless this gift. I send it forth to heal and prosper. It is evidence of my faith and belief.
It is evidence of my faith and belief.
It does good work in the world.
It does good work in the world.
And blesses creation.
And blesses creation.
Thank you. Ushers, please receive the gift.